here's the trade of the universe. Are you ready? We give him our sorrow, he gives us his joy. We give him our dead spiritual life, and he gives us his living spiritual life. We give him our sin, he gives us his righteousness.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, Jesus is Lord. This is chapter one on the series called, Things Every Christian Should Know. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
Last time, we began our brand new series entitled, Things Every Christian Should Know, with a message on the Lordship of Jesus. We saw that not only did Jesus come to redeem us from the curse of sin, but he also came to be the Lord and Master of our everyday life. So let's get right into the conclusion of this important message, Jesus is Lord. There is no transitional form from whatever man was before, ape or whatever. There's no transitional form showing the transitions that led to Adam and Eve. It's never been discovered. Can I blow your mind and tell you that evolution is not even settled science? Now you say, well, yes it is, because it was taught me in school. I know it was taught you in school. But it doesn't have a leg to stand on. You say, boy, Jeff, that's pretty strong words. I know, but if you think about evolution logically, just put religion out of it. Think about it logically. It makes no sense. You are proposing something absolutely preposterous, that all of this came from a single amoeba crawling out of some ancient sea. God said, let there be. And it makes sense. Now, if that offends you, I'm sorry, but I'm the one up here and you're not. I'm kidding. If that offends you, no, seriously, if it offends you, I understand, because I used to embrace evolution. But study it. Go and read. And it's failed science. Anyway, when Adam and Eve were created, they sinned against God. And when they sinned against God, here's how you explain all the crime, all the death, all the mayhem. When they sinned against God, sin entered the human race. Listen to this. When Adam sinned, says Romans 5, verse 12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the entire world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So when Adam sinned, being the head of the human race, it was trickle-down guilt, guilt by association. And so we experienced guilt because Adam sinned, but also guilt because we ourselves have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We have all fallen short. We've all missed the mark. We've all broken God's law. We're all guilty before God. Yet God in his great mercy, thank God for the mercy of God, he promised to send a Savior way back in the Garden of Eden when he found Adam and Eve hiding, and he called everybody together, Adam and Eve and the devil. He told all three of them, the day is going to come, I'm going to send the seed of the woman, and he is going to bruise your head, Satan, and you're going to bruise his heel. And there, way back then, God predicted the cross when the spikes went through the heel of Jesus. And he said, when those spikes go through the heel of my Messiah, then it is going to bruise Satan's head. It's going to destroy the power of the devil, the death, hell, and the grave that he is in charge of. It's going to destroy it. That was God's prediction. And then, as many, many centuries went by after the Garden of Eden, man went through the flood and the Tower of Babel and dispersion throughout the whole earth, and all the crime and all the difficulty and all the darkness that covered the planet because of sin. Then it finally came to pass. Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son and fulfilled his promise. Then by Jesus' death on the cross, he broke the power of sin over everyone who places their faith in him, and he's the only one who can. Peter said, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. It never needs to happen again. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. Aren't you glad he brought you safely home? Amen. Now, the Bible records that when Jesus died on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished!" And those were his last words, and he gave up his spirit. You know what that's really saying, "It is finished"? Let me give you three more words. Paid in full is what he meant. He meant paid in full. He paid the full price to buy us out of Satan's ownership so that we could be God's very own. He paid the price. So when he said, "It is finished," he was saying, "My blood has been shed. I never sinned. I am the Son of God. I have now paid the price. Now, anybody who looks to me in faith is going to be forgiven, and they're going to have the power of sin broken off of their life because of what I did." He did two more powerful things on the cross. The first thing, we call it redeemed, redemption. Redeem means to buy us back. Redeem means buy back. You're buying something back. Something that was lost from you, you're buying it back. Jesus bought us back from Satan's control and dominion, and brought us to himself. Secondly, his shed blood atoned for our sins. Now, let me help you understand atonement. When I say atonement, think of three words. At-one-ment. Atonement, A-T-O-N-E-M-E-N-T. Let's break it up. At-one-ment. Here's what that means. When Jesus' blood was shed, when you look to him in faith, Jesus takes your hand and God's hand, and he joins them into one, and we are reconciled back to God, at one with God, at one meant, atonement. His blood atoned for our sins. Amen. Amen. That's good news. Now, it really gets even better. You know, you can get excited about the cross of Christ. It gets even better. Because not only did he redeem us, buy us back, and atone for us, put us back at one with God, but through Jesus Christ, God has entered into an unbreakable covenant with us. Can I tell you that our God is a covenant God? He's not a maybe so, hope so, perhaps so, gee, I might stay with you and I might not. He's not like people. Amen? Isn't that good news? How many of you have ever been betrayed by somebody, walked out on by somebody? All right, here's what he says. I will never walk out on you. I will never fail you. I will never forsake you because I'm entering into a covenant with you. And here's what covenant means. It is the promise to be faithful. That's what covenant means. The promise to be faithful. Everybody that has a Bible, hold it up with me today, would you? Hold up your Bible. Now, I want you to realize that what you're holding in your hand is two covenants that God made. The old covenant and the new covenant. But covenant. God's promise that he would be faithful to you and to me. Now, can I tell you, the new covenant is way better than the old covenant. I am so glad we live in the time of the red ink in the New Testament, the times of Jesus. Because before Jesus came, they were in the old covenant, and it was not near as good. But thank God, the new covenant says, I will never leave you, never fail you, never forsake you, never walk out on you. When everybody else walks out, I will walk in. I will never turn you aside. I will never give up on you. I will never turn you away. That's the promise of God. God promises to be ever faithful to us, and we promise to be ever faithful to him. We give him our lives, and he gives us his, but it gets even better than that. Here's the trade of the universe. Are you ready? We give him our sorrow, he gives us his joy. We give him our dead spiritual life, and he gives us his living spiritual life. We give him our sin, he gives us his righteousness. What a trade. Do you know that the Bible says that this covenant that we're in is better? The book of Hebrews tells us 12 times that the new covenant is better than the old. I'm not afraid. We got a class going on right now we call officially comparative religions, but what it really is showing why Christianity is superior to all the others, and it is, and I'm not afraid to say it, because it's the only one that really leads you to God, and it's better. Can everybody say the word better? When you came to Jesus, you got a better thing. He's better than drugs, better than alcohol, better than going your own way, better than living your own life, better than any sin the devil can give to you. He's better. Better. Amen. Now let me tell you another reason it's better. It's better because Jesus comes to live inside of us by the power of the Holy Spirit when we turn to Him. And that did not happen to the people in the Old Covenant. When you say, Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sin, He sends His Spirit into you, and you are marked as a child of God. It's the seal of ownership, and you are signed, sealed, and delivered. As far as God's concerned, you are seated in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, and that's better. That's better. I'll tell you another reason it's better. Because He calls us to a life that we could never live in our own strength. But He says, I'm going to help you with that because this is a better covenant. So it says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Philippians 2:13. That means when you come to Jesus, He puts His Spirit inside of you. And that Holy Spirit living inside of you changes your desires. Gives you divine wanna-do. In other words, when you were lost, were you concerned about pleasing God? Did you want to go to church? Did you ever want to open up this Bible and read it when you were lost? No. But when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, He births, He creates, He launches divine, heavenly, godly desires that begin to drive us instead of the flesh. And then He gives you the power to realize those desires. Better. Everybody say better with me again. Better. When Jesus rose from the dead, that was God validating His ministry. See, if He hadn't gotten up, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be here. Paul said, you'd still be in your sin. You'd still be without hope. You'd still be without God. You would not have salvation. You wouldn't be redeemed. You would not have the Holy Spirit living inside of you if He had not risen from the dead. But when He rose from the dead, God validated everything He said and everything He did. Listen to what the Bible says. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. When He was resurrected, He was declared to be everybody, everything He said He was when He was raised from the dead. Now here's the deal. Because of His mighty resurrection, Jesus claims lordship over all people. That's the amazing thing. Listen to this. To this end, Christ died and rose again, that He might be Lord of both the dead and the living. So, Jeff, how can you be Lord of the dead? Because their souls are still alive. Their souls are still there. Though their bodies are dead, their souls are still there, still waiting to meet God. And who are they going to go in front of, whether they were lost or saved? They're going to go in front of Jesus Christ because He's Lord of both the dead and the living. At the great white throne judgment, everybody who has ever lived is going to be brought up before Christ Himself because He's Lord of both the dead and the living. You know what I love about this? Hitler's knee is going to bow and his tongue is going to confess. Watch this. Mussolini's knee is going to bow, his tongue is going to confess. Every mocker of Jesus Christ who mocks Him today, makes fun of Him today, and persecutes His people, that person is going to have to bow their knee and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, here's what really gets me excited. The Bible says that even those under the earth are going to have to bow the knee and confess. That means Satan himself is going to have to bow. Amen. Satan himself, the liar of liars, the ruiner of lives, the enslaver of the human soul, the hater of God, the blasphemer of all time, he's going to have to bow his crooked knee and say with his crooked tongue the only true thing he's ever said, He is Lord. Yeah. Amen. I hope I get to watch that. I mean, I really hope I get to watch that. Satan. He's the Lord. This is so powerful. Only those who bow to His Lordship now are promised eternal life then. It's simple terms. In him we have redemption, only through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. How are you saved? Only through the blood. Jeff, I have really good intentions. I don't want to be a Christian, but I love God, and I have good intentions. I'm doing good things, helping people, living my life the best I know how. So isn't God going to honor that? No. No. Not according to Jesus. No. Well, how come? I'm basically a good person. No. You sinned, I sinned. The only way to come into right standing with God, in him we have redemption only through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I've been there trying other ways. I tried transcendental meditation, all that Buddhism stuff. I went out in the woods one day after I read a book about how to meditate and become one with the universal rhythm of nature. So I went out to the woods to try it, got my little lotus position, and did this and started saying Aum over and over and over, and suddenly something started biting me. And I looked and I was covered with ants. I got ants in my pants is all I got out of transcendental meditation. It did not put me in touch with God. But when I said, Jesus, forgive me, something happened. Can you say with me, I'm not my own? Let me close with a mind-blowing truth about lordship. This settles the issue of lordship. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you realize, Paul writes to church people, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Now look at these next few words. Read them with me. You do not belong to yourself. Now that just obliterates this whole thing of it's my body and I'll do what I want with it. No, it's not. You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price, the currency of the blood. So you must honor God with your body. Now that settles lordship right there. I'm not my own. I'm not my own. I can't go do my own thing. Don't want to go live. God, because he's Lord, can interrupt me anytime he wants, inconvenience me anytime he wants, because he's Lord, and I'm not. I'm going to close with an illustration. Let's say today you had a $25,000 check. Wouldn't that be nice? I wish I had one to give you. But walk with me now. $25,000 check. And you say, wow, I came into this money, $25,000 check. I'm going to go get a new car. So you head to the dealership and you pick out a new car that you can pay cash for. Wouldn't that be sweet? Cash for. So you slap down a $25,000 check on a new car. And you tell the salesman, get it washed for me, get it ready. And the salesman says, I'll do more than that. I'll bring it to your house. Wow. So you drive home in the old clunker. You're about ready to trade off. You've got a new car coming. You're excited. You tell the kids, you tell the neighbors, I've got a new car and it's all paid for. And a couple hours later, the doorbell rings and there's the salesman and he hands you a box. And in the box is a steering wheel, brake shoes, and a tire. You say, you know, this isn't even funny. I'm not even going to laugh along with you. This is a bad joke. He said, this is what I have for you. And then you are filled with anger. You say, wait a minute. I gave you $25,000 for the whole car. I bought the whole car. I want the whole. Well, this is the best that I've got for you today. Well, if that's what you're telling me, I'm going to my attorney because I deserve what I paid for. Let me tell you what Jesus experiences with us. We get saved, and he says, purchased. And we say, I give you my Sundays sometimes. I give you every once in a while Wednesday nights when I'm feeling real spiritual. And Lord, I give you this room and this room in the house of my soul, but this one remains padlocked. That one remains padlocked. I'm not giving you this and I'm not giving you that. We'll pray about that as we go along. And you know what he says? I paid for the whole thing. So I want the whole thing. I want all of you, not some of you, because when you give me all of you, I will give you all of me. That's lordship. You are not your own. Real quick, I'm going to tell you a quick story as I close. You knew I was raised in a secular home. I didn't know anything about Christianity. I got saved in juvenile home. when I had been arrested for sale of narcotics as a 16-year-old boy. I was looking for truth. I was looking for some kind of meaning in life. And so I was trying to self-medicate away the pain that I was experiencing. So I turned to drugs, got in trouble, got arrested, got put in juvenile home. By the third night that I was there, they came knocking on the door. They said, "Hey, Wickwire, you want to come hear some people talk to you about Christianity?" I didn't even know what it was. The only thing I knew about Jesus, the only thing I knew was, "Jesus Christ Superstar, are you really who they say you are?" And that was from listening to the radio. And that's the only way I ever even heard the name of Jesus Christ in any in-your-face way. So I went down there and I heard a preacher talk about John 3:16 and the gospel, and I gave my heart to Christ. Now, I didn't know to stay in the Bible. I didn't know to get into church. I didn't know how to develop holy habits. So I drifted after that. That's when I tried my lotus position, transcendental meditation, and got burned and stung. It's like God saying, "This isn't it." So I reached a place about 2 years later where I was very down. And I'm going to be honest with you and transparent with you. I looked up and said to God, "If you don't do something, I'm checking out." I really did. About 2 weeks later, a knock came on the door. I was in a little efficiency apartment. I mean, everything was in one room. Slept on a sleeper sofa that you couldn't put a gun in my head to get me to sleep on today. It was full of bars, and I don't know how I did it. I was young. Anyway, that was my little home. And they're standing at the door, these two guys I used to go drugging with. And I looked real quick down, and they had Bibles in their hand. And I looked in their eyes, and they had that funny look, and I thought, uh-oh, I'm about to be bombarded with Jesus stuff. And they said, "Jeff, what are you doing?" "Oh, not much." I said, "Listen, we're going to a Bible study this week. We'd love for you to come. It's in a house. It's not in a church. It's going to be a bunch of people just like you and me. Why don't you come?" I said, "Great, I'll think about it." And I slammed the door as quickly as I could. And listen, when I slammed that door and turned around, God came into the house. God came into that apartment. It was like I shut the door and turned, and God was in the room. And I knew something without hearing words. Do it before you can't do it. Go. So I said, "Okay." And I went. I went to this Bible study, and here's a whole bunch of Jesus people, hippies, ex-hippies, just like me, long hair, wire-rim glasses, blue jeans, worshiping God, tears streaming down their face. And I became jealous. And I said, "God, if you'll give me that, I'll give you everything." Dangerous prayer to pray. And it was like God said, "Say that one more time, Wickwire." And I said, "If you'll give me what I see them experiencing, I'll give you everything." Now, at home, I'm going to be real honest with you. At home, I had a bag of pot. I'm being honest with you. You say, "Pastor Jeff, I don't even like to picture you that way." Hey, the truth is the truth. And so I said, "I'll give you anything if you'll give me what they have." And suddenly, folks, it was like the power of the Holy Spirit came upon me in a way that if I stood here an hour, I couldn't explain it to you. It was like wave after wave after wave of God's power and love washed over me like a tidal wave. It was so overwhelming. I broke away from that group, went outside in the front lawn in East Dallas. All I could say over and over again was, "Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." I finally had to say, "You better stop or I'm going to die." Do you know that a year later, I started preaching and I've never stopped? Now listen, that happened in the presence of total surrender. I'm telling you, I was being blocked until there was total surrender. When I gave him everything, he gave me everything. And it changed my life.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for another exciting message entitled Authority of the Scripture, in this series called Things Every Christian Should Know. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.